As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Josh Huestis. We got Andrew Schleck because Jay King cannot be found. Once again, attempted to make mac and cheese, and now it's nowhere to be found. The only guy who can forget one of the two ingredients in mac and cheese, I'll let you, the listener, figure out which one he forgot. Make sure you're checking us out on YouTube. You can watch us talk. What's better than that? Make sure you're checking out all of our great coverage at The Athletic. Make sure you're checking out The Bounce, our free email newsletter from yours truly and Shams Charania every morning. Go to theathletic.com/thebounce. All right, guys, we have Thursday coming up, and we are going to get the all-star starters. We're also going to play Plant Your Flag in this one, which is America's fastest growing game show. Make sure you get the home edition. But for the all-star starters, they're going to be announced on TNT on Thursday. And so we have the voting results so far. Nothing's really changed, right? We have in the West, Jokic, LeBron, Durant. That's Nikola Jokic, LeBron James, Kevin Durant for you novices out there. Yeah. Luka Doncic.
People who are listening to this but don't know.
Yes, but don't know the full name. Yeah. You know what we say, LeBron. Yeah. Yeah, they just need the full names. And then we have Luka Doncic and Steph Curry. That's the brother of Seth Curry in the West
backcourt. Son of Del Curry.
Son of Wardell Curry. Also named Wardell. Wardell. A little fun fact
right for you,
yeah. With Shea Gilgeous-Alexander very close, very, very close to Steph Curry's voting totals, which is very impressive for Shea, considering the market disparity. And no one really close in the front court in terms of challenging those three, right? Like AD's up there, Kawhi's up there, but they're, you know, a million plus apart in terms of the voting. And then in the Eastern Conference, as of the last totals, we have Giannis Antetokounmpo, brother of Thanasis Antetokounmpo. We have Joel Embiid. We have Jason Tatum in the front court. And then it was Tyrese Haliburton leading the guards and Trae Young and Damian Lillard having a nice little battle there. But Trae Young is in the lead as of the last voting return. So let's talk about who we think should be an all-star starter and who we think will be an all-star starter. Reminder, the fan vote is just 50% of it. The media voted by Saturday night. I was a part of that vote, so I can tell you who I voted for. And then that's 25% of it. And then the players will vote for 25% of it. And before we get to any of our predictions, Josh, how much do the players take this seriously when voting for all-star starters?
Zero.
That's how you get like a Bryce Johnson.
Zero, because we would get the vote. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you'd vote. It would always be, we knew who was going to, because we know who's going to be the starters more often than not. Like, I think it's fairly clear who's going to be in the lead no matter what. But so you get the jokes, you get your buddies voting for your friends, voting for someone you know has zero chance. Thanasis Antetokounmpo is going to get a ton of player votes for all-star.
Yeah.
From the bus.
I was going to say, you're not going to get paid next week if you don't vote for
No.
Now, here's how you know it's not serious. It's not, serious. Four guys voted for Chet last year.
Well, I mean, they knew, right? So they saw him working out. Yeah.
They knew. Didn't even play. He got votes.
Josh, did you ever get someone to vote for you?
Yeah. I didn't campaign for it, but I wouldn't be surprised if I got a couple here and there. Yeah. Like, it's just how nobody cares. No, the players don't really take it seriously. Players also don't like vote. They would just vote. A lot of times it's just you vote for who's on your team.
Yeah.
You want your teammates to make the All-Star game, but you don't care about anybody else. You don't care about anybody on any other team. You actively try to sabotage them by not voting for them.
Yeah.
Did you vote for Dion Waiters?
It's not a serious thing. God, no. But I voted like God, it was. No. God, no. Voted for Melo, PG, Steven Adams, Russ. Yeah. You know what I mean? I voted for those guys.
Okay. All right.
And then I would vote for like Dwight Powell and like my buddies. Just, yeah. You know what I mean? But outside of that, it wasn't serious.
That's, I mean, thank God you got those Dwight Powell votes in. Yeah. Otherwise, he'd be out of the league right now.
Hey, come on now. No.
All right, Schlecht, who do you think will be the All-Star starters? Do you think there will be any changes between now and, you know, the media vote being tallied, the player vote being tallied, and that final fan vote being tallied?
I think in the West, I think that Shea will start. I think media may have him as the number one guard.
I agree. Yeah.
And then I think it'll be a toss up between Luka and Steph. I would give it to Luka. I think Luka's had the better season than Steph has. The Warriors are just like in shambles right now for many reasons. But I would go with Shea and Luka and. As the guards for the West.
Front court, you're good. KD, Jokic.
Yeah, I think LeBron. That's fine. I think KD
I don't has think been, that's even...
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think Kawhi has a real case, but how are you going to knock any of those guys off?
If it were me, I would put Kawhi.
The only thing I could see changing is just... oh, no, sorry. Never mind. Forgive me. I was thinking East. We're good.
Yeah.
No, I can't see anything changing. Maybe Kawhi. Outside of that, it's a popularity contest, and that's just
those guys are popular.
Those guys are popular.
What about in the East?
Am I crazy, though, before we move on to the East, am I crazy to think that Durant's taken like a small step back this season?
Yeah.
In the mid-range, which is like where he operates a lot,
yeah,
he's shooting a lot worse from the mid-range.
But from three, he's been significantly better.
He's been really good. I just wonder... Because he hasn't shot less than 50% from the mid-range in, like, a long time. And he's, like, 44% from the mid-range this season. What do we make of that?
I know they're mediocre defensively, but he's been so good defensively. And he's been such a good playmaker. Like, I just... Like, yeah, maybe his mid-range shot has suffered a little bit, but I think his overall play is somehow better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just Josh, a question.
Josh, you guard him. You'd know. What do you think?
Yeah.
You look washed now?
Not in any way.
Yeah,
no.
Washed. Slight washed. Step back to washed.
Exactly. A slight step back. I'm like, yeah, he's washed, man.
this just in. Schleck says KD sucks.
Oh yeah,
just
should retire.
Well, still upset about leaving OKC.
You know what? If we want to talk about it, we can talk about it. Okay.
That's the headline.
What about the East, Schleck? What about you? Have any changes there? Of who you think will be
there. Who will is Trae Young really going to
Dame and Trae is that's very close, right?
Yeah.
Is
it wild to think Donovan Mitchell could have a chance too? Because he's been awesome lately
for
the Cavs.
Great, man. They like all those injuries hit and they're the hottest team in basketball as
still
of right
winning.
Now.
Yeah.
And their defense has still been good. Like they've been one of the better defensive teams in the
league.
Right.
Missing a player, defensive player of the year.
Yeah. So, if it were me, I'd want to put Mitchell there just because I think he has been one of the best guards in the Eastern Conference.
Because you have integrity.
Because so I have integrity.
About.
Something that Kevin Durant doesn't have.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
What?
had an integrity saturated ballot that I submitted.
Wow.
Saturday night. That's right. I took my time out of my Saturday evening to vote with integrity, Josh. Thank you very much. I was watching
the time away from
when I got reminded that there was a deadline that night.
Exactly.
But
yeah. You clearly took it very seriously.
That's tonight. Integrity
shout out, laced. Shout out to Mark Broussard from the NBA. They're like, yo, get this in.
You have integrity and you want to give it to the guy that truly deserves it. That's not how this works.
Oh, shoot.
Unfortunately.
That's how we were going to do this.
In a perfect world. That'd be great.
Do you guys have any changes? Do you guys have any changes of what you think will happen in the East outside of like a Trey Dame swap? I don't think Donovan's going to get it just because he's so far down on the fan vote.
I think Dame gets it when the media and player votes come in.
Because players love Dame, right?
They do. And people have things against Trey. I feel like especially in media and amongst players more so than they do Dame. Who doesn't love Dame?
Whenever Dame is like talking about scrutiny, you know, I'm like, you're the most Teflon player out there. No one talks bad about Dame, right? Until a little bit of like the trade request stuff. But it was like you're clutch, but you don't win in the playoffs, right? But no one holds that against you. Like you're clutch in the regular season. You don't play any defense. No one cares. He just puts up monster numbers. Led a pretty good Blazers team that, you know, probably maxed out what they could do. And that was it. Like, there was no, we need to hold this guy's feet to the fire. And I'm not even saying they should, but it's just funny to me that, like, he's occasionally talked about scrutiny. And so I'm like, what scrutiny? Like, you're completely Teflon. Like, no one goes after Dame.
Yeah. I think it's fair. Are the Bucks the team that we think deserves to have two All-Star starters of any other team in the league? I mean,
their record's good, man. You know,
I know their record's good, but like, do we really?
Like, it doesn't feel like this is a great team, but their record is great.
Right.
Their record says it, but the vibe is weird around the team.
Yeah,
like amongst the fan base itself, it's like, man, this has been one of their best starts ever. And yet, like, the fan base is like, man, I just don't know about this team.
Bucks fans like, I don't know about this coach. I don't know about this depth. I don't know. Yeah. Is Chris Middleton alive? Like, I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like every win is just scratched and clawed for. Like, nothing just seems easy.
It's wins
they have to work so hard for. And then when they lose, they're losing to bad teams by a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, their point differential shows that, you know, like, Philly's is more than double what their point differential is.
They have to work way harder to achieve the same result.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't seem as easy as it used to. Other thing I could see is Embiid not starting just purely because of injury, just choosing not to participate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
get the vote, yes, but he may just not participate.
Yeah.
Do you think he would do it as like a rest situation or as like a protest of he might not hit the minimum games played to be an MVP? It's crazy. Like, he's missed, 10 games, I think, as of this record. Like, he's got 7 left.
I know.
That he can miss.
Yeah.
And we won't talk about MVP, but that's the conversation where it's, to me, it's Shea can win the MVP as long as Embiid doesn't qualify, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think he's had the best season of anybody. Like, I think he should be, like, the number one all-star starter in the East. I think he's been amazing.
It's a tough year to be the first time we do this rule.
Yeah.
Because he has been unbelievable. Yeah. I think I saw like he's missed like 19 fourth quarters this year or something like that. Ridiculous like that. Like because they've just been.
That's a ton. Right.
They just dominate. Yeah.
I feel like it calls into question the value.
Do we think that he stole KD's mid-range jumper?
His mid-range is automatic.
Right, KD's washed.
Josh, how many times have you watched Thunderstruck?
Space Jam situation. Thunderstruck, zero.
Thunderstruck situation. Oh,
you're missing out. It's a real piece of shit, man.
I had to think about that for a second. I was like, what is he talking about? And then
you weren't required. That wasn't part of, like, rookie initiation.
They sit us down. It's like the Thunder have their own rookie transition camp. You get there, you have to watch Thunderstruck.
Russ is like, hey, get donuts. I'm like, hold on before you get donuts. You gotta watch Thunderstruck.
Hey, I was in Thunderstruck.
You're
movie.
In Thunderstruck?
I'm a extra kidding? In Thunderstruck.
Wow.
Yeah. So they had us fill. So I was in like the arena portion of it. They had a section of extras. And we would shoot the scene like 5 or 6 times, and then we would shuffle to the next section and then shoot the same scene 5 or 6 times. So you can, there's like a couple scenes where you can see like 2 Andrews in the crowd.
So this is like in the movie Above the Rim where that guy throws a full court pass to himself in the edit. Like you're just everywhere.
I'm everywhere. Yeah. Yeah.
So wow, we've got a couple of movie stars at The Athletic, because did you know that Tim Kawakami is in the movie The Great White Hype?
Is that right? With,
Damon Wayans. Yeah, he's a media member in The Great White Hype.
That rules.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Who do you think should be an all-star starter? Like, who would you say, like, nah, like, the voting's got it wrong. I need this. So I'll tell you who I voted for here.
Okay, all right? Let's hear it.
In the West, voted for, again, for the novices out there, Nikola Jokic, LeBron James, Kevin Durant. Those are my 3 front court. Mm-hmm. And then the back court, I had Luka Doncic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I don't know how you leave Shai out, right? Like, yeah. I just think that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been the best guard in the league and arguably the best player. In the East, Giannis, Embiid, Tatum, and then I went Tyrese Halliburton, and I said Jalen Brunson. I think it's ridiculous that Jalen Brunson is not right there with Trae Young and Damian Lillard.
For sure.
And you guys mentioned Donovan Mitchell earlier. That's another great call. Like, I think those guys should all be within shouting distance of each other for the fan vote, at least. It's crazy to me that Jalen Brunson doesn't have anything close to the votes.
Yeah. What do we make of that with the Knicks? I mean, the Knicks are one of the biggest teams in the world, right?
I got a lot of questions about this fan voting totals.
Yeah.
Stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't, like, he's, like, Jalen Brunson in the biggest market has like a third of the votes of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's in what, the second or third smallest market?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, sure, maybe Canada's showing up here and voting, but like, that can't be enough. We've had Canadian players before. Like, that's just, that doesn't make sense to me that Jalen Brunson is so far down on votes. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
Well, who are the people? Who are the fans that vote? Are the fans that vote the people that actually know and really focus and pay attention to basketball? I don't think those are the people that vote. I think the people that vote are people that watch their team and their team only, and are kind of casual fans and pay attention to the Steph Currys and the Shai Gilgeous-Alexanders, the big names, guys that get a ton of media attention.
I know Ben Stiller's voting.
That's not Brunson. That's not Brunson. But, like,
it's true.
I don't think casual fans know who Jalen Brunson is.
Really?
And those are the people that vote, because I feel like people that take it seriously don't hop on their phone and max out their voting on the 3 times voting days.
Yeah. And he's been so good in the playoffs for 2 different teams in 2 different big
markets. No, I'm not arguing that, but
I'm saying, like,
attention to that.
When you say the casual fan doesn't really know who he is, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just, like, it's crazy to me. Like, we've seen him be great in the playoffs in Dallas, and we've seen him be great in the playoffs in New York. And to me, that should be enough, you know?
Knicks have been bad for so long that people don't pay attention.
But
outside of New York.
But also, like, when was, like, the last, like, Jalen Brunson TikTok clip of him playing that you're just like, out?
Exactly.
Look,
no, 100%.
Someone put a supercut of him
go viral. Like,
someone needs to put like a TikTok supercut together of him pivoting. Tell me you can't set that to some music and go viral. Come on.
I think fans may know who he is, but I don't think they know how good he is.
No,
I guess.
No, and I do think it's a popularity contest, because you look at Kawhi Leonard, like, should Kawhi be below Anthony Davis and that far below Kevin Durant?
Well, he's never talked.
No, that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
That's what it's about is the popularity, the fame, all those things, the marketability. It's the marketability that gets you votes in the fan returns.
Yeah.
Man, it just, like, you know, Steph, well, obviously Steph Curry's a different story, but like Steph got all that attention because it was like, oh, he's small, even though he's like 6'3", 6'4". Like, it's like, oh, he's a small guy.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, and
I saw a picture of him next to Kevin Hart the other day. It's hilarious.
Oh my God. That was.
Did you see that?
I knew Kevin Hart was short, but I saw that video of that, whatever that photo shoot was. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, either Steph is 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Hart is miniature.
Yeah. No, that was crazy. But like Jalen Brunson is an actual short person, right? He's like, I know he's listed at 6'2". That dude is.
But he's not pulling from 35 feet.
Yeah.
I guess.
Again,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like the TikTok is there clips of him? You know, like that's
exactly.
I mean, that's how you know if like guys are popular. It's like, are they clippable? You know, like who are the most clippable players?
That's literally how stand up comics are being booked now for like
I don't doubt it.
For comedy show. Like I have a friend who's a very successful stand up comic, and he had to start putting stuff on TikTok because that's the way you get booked.
Yeah. And yeah, like, what's it, Matt Rife, right? Like he got famous on TikTok, and he's
horrible at stand-up comedy, but he got famous. Yeah, right.
Because his crowd work went viral on TikTok,
right? Which is how you know a comedian's not any good is if all their clips are crowd work.
Well, here's like another example is like Domantas Sabonis is having a really good season.
He's
not hardly gotten any votes,
right?
And it's not, and I think Şengün's had an awesome season too. But not to have 1 million more votes.
They're not flashy.
But that's where at least market size makes sense, right? Sacramento, super small market. Houston's a big market.
Sure. But a million?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're right. Yeah.
No,
look, I mean, I don't think
Şengün's clippable. Şengün is clippable. People are going to know, like, as he continues to play, people are going to know his name more and more because of the way he plays his game.
Well, he's an outlier, guy, by the way. Sneaky poster freak. Guy, like he dunks on a lot.
Yes, very clippable.
Yes. Yes,
very clippable, very TikTokable.
Right, for sure.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at Fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the game show that has swept the nation. Josh's favorite game show graphic. It's time for Plant Your Flag. Oh, man. I remember when I climbed that mountain in that suit. And planted my flag atop the mountain. What an afternoon that was, you know? Just a little light work. Just a little light jog up the mountain. Not a big deal. Josh, you wouldn't understand.
I'm surprised you didn't require your Frenchie to be in that photo.
He's the one that took the photo. We just went up there.
For those of you who follow Zach, there's no stories without his Frenchie.
Hey, man. It works. All right, for Plant Your Flag. This is the game where we got two options. You pick one. That's all it is. You just plant your flag on one. That's where you're gonna.
Here's where Jay would ask you to clarify.
What's a flag? Are you talking Cooper flag?
Now plant. When you say plant, like what kind of plant? Like are we like plant? A house plant?
I'm not allowed to have house plants. I'll kill them.
The rockets.
I overwater. Man.
The rockets.
They're so good.
I like this Jay King impersonation from John. It's pretty good. All right, time to plant your flag. Teams that will make it further in the playoffs or play-in tournament. So we start off. I'm actually going to go in reverse order here, okay? I think this last one's the best one. Who will make it further? Plant your flag, Josh. The Orlando Magic or those red-hot Chicago Bulls?
The Magic. I don't believe in the Bulls.
Don't believe
at all. I don't believe in the Bulls.
Don't believe they exist.
They don't believe they exist. I think it is a government conspiracy.
Wow.
Just that the Bulls are still a team.
Wow. Those weren't even real boos for the Krause widow. Those are just.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
So you got the Magic going. Yeah, now, is this because you think the Magic will be a play-in team and advance, or you think they'll make the top six and the Bulls won't?
I think that they will. I think they will be a play-in team in advance. I think the playoffs are a weird thing, man. Like it becomes this. It's not good enough to be really good offensively, and it's not good enough to be really good defensively anymore. When you get to that level and when you get to that point in the season, it has to be this balance of being able to put the ball in the basket, but also being able to get stops because teams have time to prepare. Teams have more time to scout, take it seriously. Everybody's rested. Everybody, you know, buys into game plan a little bit more. And I just think the Magic have that better balance. I think that they are better defensively. I think that they are better offensively. Are either great? No. I've been kind of, and I think you would agree, Zach, you've been kind of disappointed in the Magic. They had a lot of high hopes for them.
Yeah, they've been pretty rough the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. They
could win against Miami on Sunday, but they've regressed a little bit.
Right. But I still think they're better than the Bulls.
Yeah, I still, for whatever reason, I don't trust the Bulls for anything, even when they've been good. Schleck, exactly. Plant your flag, Magic or Bulls?
Hear me out. I'm going to go Bulls because I think this team is in the – I think both are in the play-in. And I think that it's hard to score down the stretch of games. And I think the Magic are pretty ill-equipped to score at the end of games. They've been one of the worst fourth-quarter teams in the league this season. And the Bulls have been, like, sneaky pretty good in the fourth quarters. They're not great, but they've been – they have the 11th best net rating in the fourth quarters. And they have guys that, like, can score in the fourth quarter of a game.
Yeah, I hate this opinion. I'll just let you know. I think it's offensive. As someone who backed the Orlando Magic all last year and this year, I hate it.
When it comes down to one game, though, in the play-in, like one,
anything can happen.
Anything can happen, but give me the guys that I know for sure that I feel a little bit better about them scoring in the fourth quarter than I do Orlando.
I hate it. I'm going Orlando, obviously. I love the Magic. I'm going to stick with them. I'm never going to jump from that wagon. All right, plant your flag, Schlecht. The Jazz or the Rockets?
God, this Jazz team is so weird. This is like one of the weirdest stories that has happened in a long time with the team because it's not like, oh man, now they're like young guys are coming together. Things are just looking better for this team. It is strange, like the lineups that they put out there that have just like somehow worked. It's honestly a little confusing, but they've been amazing lately. And they've been like resurrecting careers here in Utah with guys like Chris Dunn. It's like suddenly just incredibly important to the way that they play. Markkanen's been awesome. John Collins has come in and is like as a starter has been really good for them. I think I'm gonna go.
Sexton.
Sexton has been amazing. I think I'm going to go with with Utah in this moment. And some of this is recency bias and that the Jazz have been amazing and the Rockets are
kind of falling short a little
bit. Yeah, they've been in a bit of a slump recently, which is fine. Like they've still taken a big step forward from where they were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've also had a really tough schedule recently.
The schedule's been tough. I love the coaching that's going on in Utah right now as well. Like you watch them play, like Will Hardy just has them playing like really good offensive basketball. And so
he's got an open door policy. Like
the door's always open in Utah. I like their team. I think Markkanen's a straight up star. That dude is amazing.
No, he should be an all-star.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, I don't care who's got
another guy
knocked off. Like, he's an all-star.
Yeah. He's been amazing. So I think I lean Utah, but some of that is just because some of the youth that plays a lot for Houston, I think, is going to drag them down a little bit. And they could end up missing the play-in entirely. I think Utah could take a step in and be a play-in team this season.
Josh?
This was a tough one for me. I think I'm going to agree with Schlecht on it being Utah. And I do think it comes down to the youth in Houston kind of dragging them a little bit when it gets to that point.
Hmm.
I think that guys like Sexton and Clarkson and Dunn have, I think, a little bit more of what it takes to win in that situation, in like a play-in or playoff situation, than guys in Houston. But it's tough because Şengün, I love Şengün, and he's so good.
He's really good.
And offensively and defensively, the Rockets aren't bad.
Defensively, they're great.
Yeah.
I know.
They're so eighth in defense.
It's difficult.
This season. Yeah.
But again, the recency bias is tough to overcome with this Jazz team. Like, is it real? Is what's happening real, or is it just this kind of thing that's, you know, the things are just kind of clicking right now, but we're going to go back to down to earth here.
I'm about to spit in the face of recency bias. I'm saying neither.
Let's hear it.
I'm planting my flag with the Warriors.
Yeah, yeah.
Knocks them both out.
Oh,
there's no reason to believe in the Warriors right now. I think they suck, but I'm going to, you know, got to get Steph Curry.
This is all for clicks. Tournament. This is just, this is
100%. It's clickbait, baby.
Is this also just so that Josh's preseason prediction is wrong?
What's that?
Is this also so that Josh's preseason prediction is wrong?
Yeah, I
can't. Wants me to be
that,
wrong.
So yeah, that's all this is. I just no offense to the Jazz and the Rockets. It would actually be great because if the Warriors knocked them both down, it would also make Jay wrong. You know, if I can get them both to be wrong on this podcast, that'd be phenomenal.
Wow, that's a two for one.
All right.
Yeah,
I think I just changed my answer about Pacers Heat.
All right, plant your flag. Who goes deeper into the playoffs? The Mavs or the Suns? The Suns, that's a hot team right now. They have been balling lately. Josh, where are you going? Plant your flag.
I put neither.
Wow.
Neither of them make it out.
Josh doesn't have either team making the playoffs. That's crazy.
No, no, that's not what I said. You said who's got this?
Durant's washed. Luka's right washed. It's all over.
Josh is about to hit up HR. Right, like, hey!
Signed Josh Huestis.
Misrepresented. As it stands right now, Phoenix would have to go through OKC.
Mm.
And Dallas would have to go through Denver.
I mean, Dallas is not making it through Denver.
Yeah.
And is Phoenix making it through OKC? I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but...
So neither.
If there was going to be a team that could really screw up that first appearance by this Thunder team, like, wouldn't it be like, hey, KD and Booker were just too good? You know, like, even though the Suns... Like, I think the Thunder are obviously a better all-around team, but if you were going to play the experience card... Right, like
but
then.
Not for, I don't think for a seven-game series.
I would pick the Thunder. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm just saying,
you're playing devil's advocate a little bit.
No, I'm just saying, like if there was going to be a team that could really kind of rain on that parade of the first round,
sure,
of the Thunder having such a great season, I could see it being. Look, KD and Devin Booker were just too good. Even all the flaws that the Suns have, like it's.
But it's not going to happen. Not in a series.
Well, now I'm rooting for it. No offense to the Thunder.
See,
I don't know why I want Josh to be so wrong.
Because Jay's not here.
You yeah, that's cannot, what it is. Yeah, that's
you,
right.
You cannot I'm just, function I'm, without moved, a target.
I've moved my bullying to somebody else. Like, what about you, Mavs or Suns?
I think I believe in the Mavs a little bit more. We've seen Luka be the man and like just drag a team that really had no business being like further in the playoffs. We've seen him do it, and Luka's been awesome. And I don't know like what we'll get from Kyrie whenever we get to the playoffs, but like that's another like proven playoff player. He's been
good lately too. By the way, like he's on both ends of the floor. Like he's been really good.
When Kyrie has played, he's been amazing. And then like they have some of the right, like Tim Hardaway Jr. is having an awesome year as well. Like they have guys that are playing well. Derek Jones Jr. has been a great pickup for them. They have like the pieces around them, like Derek Lively and Exum, and like they have the guys.
They've
got to
stop playing Grant Williams.
He's been rough. He's been really rough.
Like he's been so bad.
Close to like 40%
from that Taylor Rooks interview.
He's been so bad.
But I like the pieces they have around them, and I think that Luka and Kyrie are equipped to like shock the world. And I just, it's the supporting cast. It's not Katie and Booker, but it's like the supporting cast that I'm just.
Their
like,
supporting cast is way more comfortable in Dallas than what Phoenix is trying to cobble together. Yeah,
definitely. So, I believe in Dallas a bit more because of that.
You know, I'm a star bleeper, so I'm going to go with the Suns here. You know, no offense to Luka and Kyrie, but I'm a star bleeper. I believe in elitism. All right, next one. Pacers or Heat? Josh, you can sit this one out. Schlecht, what do you got for Pacers
I'm surprised
or
you're not
Heat?
Putting this one last.
Well, this one seems so obvious, right? Pacers aren't making the finals.
I mean, I have to go Heat. They still have Jimmy and Bam. Bam has had an amazing season that
I'd love to see it in the playoffs.
I'd love to
see this dude continues to shy away from offense. He's good defensively in the playoffs, but offensively he puckers up.
The thing that's like obviously different about Bam is like he's getting to the free throw line a ton this season. And it's like finding ways to score where he didn't in the past. So I just wonder if like some of that could carry over because he's just been more aggressive overall. He's like the story of the Heat with talking about how successful they've been
absolutely.
So far.
Absolutely. I mean, Josh, like with Bam. So far this season, he gets into the paint and hits that little pull-up 12-footer, like somewhere between the dotted and free throw line, and it's automatic. Like he hits, he must be 108% on that shot. Like he's,
and that's not an easy shot.
That's one of the tougher shots, right?
It is. It's this weird little, like almost like no man's land area that people don't practice a ton because you don't get a ton of shots there.
Yeah,
you get shots at like the elbows.
You'll get floaters. You'll get runners in that. But he's shooting
a jumper from like 10 to 12 feet, and it's all touch. At that distance, it's all touch. It's a super difficult shot. It's impressive.
So he's like nearly. He's 48.9% on 7 attempts. Those kinds of shots. Yeah,
He's just been unbelievable. All right, so we all got the Heat, right, Josh?
I feel gross saying it just because you've been such a dick today, but yes.
Just today. Okay. All right. Next one. Plant
usually
flag.
Jay.
That's true. It's usually diluted. Yeah. The Knicks or the Cavs? Who goes deeper into the playoffs, Josh?
Cavs. I think that they're playing so well without Mobley and Garland. I mean, again, like I mentioned, in a 7-game series, when you get to the playoffs, it's all about scouting, and it comes down to this perfect balance of offense and defense. And I think that with Mobley and Garland back, they become, I mean, they're successful without him right now.
Yeah.
Right. And I do think that I love the Mobley Allen front court.
It's really good. Yeah.
And everybody's stepping up. Dean Wade's play. Like everybody's playing good defense. Everybody's scoring. Like they just look good. They're firing on all cylinders, and they're missing two of their best players.
Yeah,
and not guys that I think are going to take away from the way they're playing either. But I think these are guys that are going to contribute to it.
But what about how much do you put into like last year? Cavs were unbelievable in regular season, right? 50 wins,
right.
Looked great. And then the Knicks just dismantled them. And maybe they don't even face each other in the playoffs this year, right?
Like, right.
But right. That, like, I love this Knicks team in terms of, like, I don't think they can, you know, make the finals or anything like that. But I just think, like, especially since the OG trade, I just like the balance. Like, and you know how much, like, I'm not a Julius Randle guy, but I believe in Jalen Brunson. I like the supporting cast. I like most of what they're doing on the court. I think it's a little more built for the playoffs.
Yeah, I just think that Cleveland's paint defense is going to be a problem if they do face the Knicks, because I do think the Knicks have a heavy paint presence, and so I do think that the Cavs would cause a problem with that.
Schlecht, who you got?
I like the Cavs roster so much more than I like the Knicks roster. Yeah. But I do worry with that playoff series. JV Bickerstaff just felt like he was a bit over his head in that situation. Mm-hmm. And like, for all the hand wringing about Thibodeau that happens, like, Thibodeau's going to be prepared for a playoff series.
Yeah.
And so that is why I lean the Knicks, just because I think that, I think the Knicks roster is better than it was last year.
For sure.
And so I lean Knicks. I do think that there is a chance that the Cavs just out-talent the Knicks, where, like, I mean, Donovan Mitchell could be the best player in the series, like, pretty easily, I think. And, like, Darius Garland,
he could also shoot them out of the series. We've seen that a lot.
We have seen that, but he's also been amazing in some playoff series. So I think I like the Cavs roster better, but I lean Knicks just because I think they'll be more prepared. And also, I talk about Donovan being the best player. I think Jalen Brunson could, like, easily be the best player in a series like this. That dude is, like, playoff tested. He's really good.
Yeah, he he'll be great.
Yeah, so I lean Knicks, but a lot of it's just because I just don't know. The difference between the coaching, I think, is the biggest deal for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Josh is wrong. All right, last one. Plant your flag. The Wolves or the Thunder? Schleck, who you got?
It is a really interesting one. We talked about this on NBA Radio yesterday.
We did, yeah, on NBA Insiders, 10-1 Eastern every Sunday morning.
It is so interesting because they play so different, and so the Wolves are in a matchup with the Thunder. They're counting on size and rebounding being the thing that's going to carry the day for them. Mm-hmm. For the Thunder, they're counting on playing fast and turnovers winning the day for them. And it's funny because the Wolves turn the ball over. I think they're, like, one of the worst teams in the league turning the ball over.
They're bad at it.
And the Thunder are, like, one of the best teams in transition and one of the best teams at turning people over. I think they have, like, 20 turnovers against the Thunder the other night, which is, like, it's not only, like, the stat of the game, but it's the stat of that matchup is the turnover battle between the two of those teams. I also just don't think the Wolves have the big man to make the Thunder pay for playing small.
You don't think Rudy Gobert unable to catch a pass?
I don't.
Ruin their lack of interior presence?
That may sum it up pretty well.
Rudy's amazing at what he does. He has the worst hands I've ever seen.
Bad hands. Also, there were some perplexing things about the way that he defended specifically in that game, because the matchup that teams have been doing is, like, they put their big on Josh Giddey. And you keep your big in the paint in order to create, just, like, muck up the Thunder's offense. Gobert was coming out to Josh on the perimeter on, like, several occasions, which was okay. And that's, to me, that's easily correctable. But it was just like one of those things where I was like, does he not realize, like, what the advantage is supposed to be created here? Like, he's supposed to just be able to, like, ignore him on the perimeter.
And to be fair, like, you know, they only scored 102 points, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, the defense was pretty good.
The defense was good.
And everything. Yeah.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, the Wolves only scored 97. And it was a struggle for both teams. And what ended up winning out in that game was the turnover battle. They did win the rebounding battle, but the Thunder have been losing the rebounding battle all season. They're actually, like, counting on losing the rebounding battle, but winning everything else.
Yeah.
And that is the Thunder strategy. I lean Thunder, in this situation, just because I think what they do, you can replicate over and over again, especially the kinds of shots. Like, Shea can get whatever shot he wants.
They just put so much pressure on the defense by all the driving.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Shea. It's J-Dub.
No.
It's Giddy. It's all those guys.
And that's the thing. Like, for the Wolves, only Ant does that.
Yeah.
You know, like, occasionally Kyle Anderson will do it, even though it's slow. Cat, I don't trust driving the ball because he's so turnover prone when he puts the ball on the floor. And if you can kind of build a wall or just get, you know, if Lou Dort can make things somewhat tough on Ant in any kind of matchup, like, then yeah, you really cut off a lot of their offensive source in terms of getting a diversity of shots, right?
Yeah. He only had 10 Josh, field goal attempts in that game because Lou Dort was just all over him.
Yeah.
Well, I think when you look at the Thunder, I'm going Thunder, and I think when you look at them, it's because not only can they're a great three-point shooting team, but that's what makes them a great driving team, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be both, right? You can't be a bad three-point shooting team and a good driving team, or else teams are just going to not close out to you, and you're not going to get your drives, right? So in that situation, it's the Wolves have to contest the three, which is going to open up lanes for, you know, Jalen Williams, Shea, like these guys to get downhill, right? Which is going to put pressure on the rim where Rudy is at or Kat is at, whatever it is. But they're also a good passing team.
Right.
And so they drive, that ball gets kicked again, puts the defense on a string, more closeouts, right? Do you trust Kat and Rudy to handle multiple closeout drives throughout a game?
Well, you know, because I've thought about this a lot with their defense and how it could apply to the playoffs. And the easy thing to do is just compare it to Utah, right? Of like, well, Gobert had these issues in Utah and it was this and that, right? Like, McDaniels, Ant, Conley, none of those guys are Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
In terms of the amount of drive, like easy, no dribble, you know, no moves, right? It wasn't a crossover. It was just a direct step.
Straight line drive. Ripping
downhill. Yeah, exactly. And so that should help it. But the X factor there is, like, are you going to get Kat, you know, playing conservative defense? Because I think his issue is he goes for, like, highlight plays on defense all the time, right? He goes for the big block when you don't need to do it. Like, he puts people out of position, his teammates out of position on the boards and stuff like that by doing that stuff. He goes for a steal when he doesn't need to, and now you have a sloppy closeout and a direct drive, right? Like, Kat will be the key to how that defense holds up in a postseason series. I think I'm going to lean a little bit to the Wolves. Just be like, there's not great experience, but there's some experience. And that's not I'm not trying to make a knock on the Thunder here. I just think, like, I want to see how they handle that pressure.
Yeah.
We also need to see how the Wolves handle it. Like, the Wolves will be a favorite this time and haven't been a favorite in a playoff series since 2004. Right. Like, this group was, like, I know Kat thinks they won the championship because they played Denver kind of tough and made it through the play-in tournament, but, like, that's not really, they don't really have experience. So you need to see the experience for the Wolves too. I'm going to lean slightly towards them, but I don't feel great about it. I think the Thunder are a better team. There's no experience to go off of yet.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes total sense. I mean, their core guys have not played a playoff series together yet.
Yeah. And actually, now that I'm taking the flag out, I'm planting it for the Thunder. I've already changed my mind.
Listen, there's these stats. I was reading these today on my show Down to Dunk about the Thunder scoring in the restricted area. You know, Shea is shooting 71.8% in the restricted area this season.
That's stupid.
On 6.5 attempts, and that's better it's better than Jokic at the rim.
That's like that's like DeAndre Jordan on the Clippers.
Yeah.
Efficiency.
It's like crazy.
Lob City.
Yeah.
Lob City years.
Yeah. Chet's 75% at the hoop this season. And even J Dub.
That's absurd.
J Dub is 68.8% on almost five. I mean,
that's absurd high.
Yeah. I mean, those three, not only, like, are they dynamic scores, you know, from three and then in the mid range, but when they get to the hoop, they are going to score.
That's a real problem for the Wolves then in that type of matchup.
you have to be really sound, and you have to find ways to let Rudy just be around the basket the whole time. Because Rudy can't change that.
He can't, sure. But if there's three players that are 68% and above inside the restricted area,
that's tough.
That's a lot of threats.
It's tough if it's one.
That's a lot to handle.
Yeah.
And can Rudy keep up with the speed of the Thunder throughout an entire playoff series?
Yeah. No, that's why I changed the planting of the flag.
I know.
I can't.
Integrity. Back.
What are you talking about? That's the most integrity.
No, you just waffle. So you don't stick with.
I didn't waffle. I reconsidered.
Yes, you.
And the lack of integrity would be me saying, hey, you know what? Even though I don't believe this, I'm going to stick with this because that's what I said. No, I'm not J.K.
Okay. So you're telling me there's never been a time you have said something and stuck with it, even though you don't believe it.
Heat and six, baby. Make sure you're checking out the bounce. Make sure you're checking out the Athletic press coverage of sports on the internet. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page. Leave a comment. Make it, I don't know, somewhat nice. You can talk shit about Josh. I don't care. Make it somewhat nice. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe. Do all this stuff. Smash that subscribe button. Okay. We'll remember those words. For Josh, I need Jay back. For Josh Eustace, Andrew Schleck, day before, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic.